From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of September 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jerry Goodell of Price Futures. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated, and Extension agronomist from the University of Illinois, Emerson Nafziger, will join us to discuss the maturity of crops across the state.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, as we go into the closing moments at the CME Group, futures are a bit higher in the corn pit. December up around 2 3/4 today at $3.70 3/4. The March at 3.82 up 2. Soybean futures down 4 3/4 at 8.89 in the nearby November. January at 9.02 3/4, 4.5 lower. The bean oil down rather up 9 cents. The bean meal about $2.40 lower. Wheat futures and the soft red July at 5.04 up 5 1/4. The hard red up 4 3/4 at 4.41 3/4. And live cattle futures in Chicago about $1.05 higher for the day. The feeder cattle on the afternoon are up 67.5 cents, and lean hogs are around 95 cents higher. We're recording just before the closes. Jackie Vakes is out of the office this afternoon, and Jerry Goodell has graciously joined us from his office in Chicago at Price Futures. Hey, thanks, Jerry, for taking the time with us today. Tell me what happened in Chicago first.
Well, thanks for having me, as always. And that, I always like to substitute for Jackie. She's one of you and I's favorite people in this business. Anyway, the markets today actually kind of led by the wheat today. They kind of firmed up right after the pause here today. As we got the more and more news all around in the international wheat markets here with the Egyptian tender was overnight. We also had a recent tender to Algeria, and both of those had some good, strong responses to them with some good values there. So the wheat market kind of firmed right after the pause. Corn was a little shaky, but it's kind of firmed up a little bit with it here, I think, just in the reality of the comparisons between wheat and corn and that type of thing. Also, there seems to be plenty of early corn yield tests going on out there. I would definitely not say that we're anywhere close to having any kind of major league corn harvest going on by this point. As you kind of remember from Monday here, we only had 4% of the U.S. harvest, and basically none of it in the Midwest. We had 0 to 1% across all the major states here on corn harvest, and I don't think next week's numbers, if we double that number up to 8 or 9%, it would be fantastic. With some of these Illinois, Indiana, probably Missouri, and some of the Kentucky, Tennessee areas improving from there. But The maturity issues in this thing is really another interesting feature. There's only 18%, as you kind of remember. That's really, I think, a background number here. Not to say that we have any kind of forecast between now and the 1st of October that projects any frost or even killing freeze. But I think that's something still that's important to this market, because we've got a really, really late planted maturity crop coming on here. And I'm not sure even an October 15th date or even maybe October 20th would damage a little bit of corn, and particularly in some of this northern Illinois corn that was planted in the first half of June up here in this part of the world. This week's ethanol numbers on corn kind of lackluster there. They were only just about a million average daily output. It was down for like 1,023,000 barrels per day from last week. In general here, the ethanol markets continue to reel here from this whole impact of the waivers in that. Even there was an announcement today, by the way, that Sioux Center, Iowa's ethanol plant was going to take a hiatus at this point. And that's kind of interesting as you go right into the harvest period here. You'd think that there would be some opportunities I assume that they're still going to be purchasing things out there, but the thing about ethanol plants, they never really have a whole bunch of storage, so you've got to kind of meet their time to when they need it. So you have to have some storage yourself to meet those needs along the way. But that's still psychologically not a great situation to have that happen. From there, there's still optimism that there may be some expansion of the quotas and man on that on ethanol with the new agreement potentially between the ethanol and operators and the farm state senators. I guess what bothers me in this whole thing is that we still, unless we have some support for putting more blender pumps in, you can talk about all the quotas and mandates and all that kind of stuff you want, but if there's not a way of getting 15% out in front of the public on an ongoing basis, I'll guarantee you the majors are not going to be the ones to put blender pumps in their part of the world. It's going to have to be the independents that want to get more of the business out there. If that is not available to the motoring public here, we're not going to really get a substantial jump, even if whatever numbers are put out there. That's my perspective. I know it's maybe not encouraging to the idea that we're going to get that ethanol is going to be expanded, but until we see that, I just don't have much faith in the expansion in that world on ethanol. Getting to the soybean market, it has really come into a lackluster attitude here. We had the enthusiasm here about potentially getting some meetings together and things of that nature, and then the reaction to the energy markets here early in the week. But without any particular news in that world, we've kind of left it kind of lackluster today and so on, defensive. Can't say that there's been a lot of soybean yield floating around that's good, bad, and different at this point in the world here of good, you know, what might be happening. I think particularly the soybeans at this point have not seen the type of maturity that we normally have this time of year. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all develops here as we go forward from that standpoint. So what other good subject matter should we take? And we can always take into next week's stocks report.
Yep, we do have a grain stocks report coming up, so we can talk a little bit about that if you'd like. That one will be the final one of the year and should really tally up what the soybeans look like, I would think.
Yes, it is. And I think reaching out into that report on the 30th, I think it's going to be interesting at this point. Not to say that the USDA always seems to be tightening up their numbers here in September the last few years, and that makes things less emotional about what that number could or couldn't be. Because we did end up having a real surge of push on Chinese exports out the door that pushed our number from 1.7 up to 1.745. And then on the crush side of things, earlier this week we had a number on NOPA that really suggests that we were probably 9 million or 7 to 9 million under what the final number was for the crush during August. So I think that's a very interesting situation. And then the other thing about it is we don't want to forget that the ongoing residual in beans is been extremely high. We haven't been this high in the residual since 2014-15 crop, and that particular year, actually it might have been 13-14 now that I think about it, because of the it was the September 14. So in that case, that particular year, we ended up having a final residual number of about 40 on it, and right now the USDA has already put in some expanded residual, but at this point, I'm wondering if that couldn't expand a little bit further. So we'll have to see how that all comes about. But unfortunately, let's just say a quick number here of 25 to as much as 40 million under the billion number we're using. It's encouraging, going the right way, but it's probably not going to help us with our stocks for next year. It's really going to have to be the yield number on beans to get much excitement. Corn side of the issue, exports are kind of on target there. The big number right now is going to be feed usage, and there's lots of controversy. Did we feed wheat in the Southwest this year or not? I'm not so sure about that, because most of the time when the prices were as weak as they were was really after the wheat was in the bin, and that doesn't usually happen where people decide to go ahead and feed wheat once they have it put away. But we'll see what those numbers are next week there for us.
Indeed we will. Hey, thanks so much, Jerry. We appreciate it.
Take care now. Have a good day.
You too. Jerry Goodell is with Price Futures out of Chicago, Illinois. That grain stocks report is due out on Monday, September the 30th. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I think it's been a month for September that looks a lot more like August, and that has helped out the crops in the United States. Can you kind of give me an overview of where we stand today?
Oh, absolutely. It has been a blessing for a lot of these folks out there that are dealing with these very late developing crops. The temperatures have been in the 80s and 90s over the past week in various places across the U.S. The northern states, of course, a week ago were very cold, but the lower half of the Midwest, the Delta and the southeastern states, the southern plains, all those areas were seeing temperatures well into the 80s and 90s last week, and that has lifted to the north and expanded, and so we now have had that for the past few days across a big part of the northern plains and even a part of the northern Midwest, with the exception of the Great Lakes region. So it's been a really good period of time. The degree day accumulations are trying to get off of the deficit that we've built up here recently, but those northwestern areas in the Corn Belt and northern plains are still behind. And with all the rain that's been occurring up there recently, those crops are just not maturing as they should. Even though we've had this warmer weather the past few days, and it looks like the outlook is that they'll cool down a little bit more and have to deal with some additional rain as we go forward through this next week. And so the bottom line is we're still going to have trouble getting those crops in the north to finish out like they need to.
And then other parts of the U.S. that are in good or worse shape?
Actually, the southeastern states and the Delta are doing extremely well. There hasn't been much rain in either area here recently, and some of that is to the credit of Humberto, who has sucked all the moisture out of the southeastern U.S. and pushed it out towards Bermuda. So that's going to be ongoing for a little while longer. So those areas are really drying down enough here so that fieldwork can advance aggressively. We have hard red winter wheat country perhaps in need of some moisture, especially in the west central high plains. This would be Colorado, western Kansas, and some immediate neighboring areas. Those areas haven't done well with rainfall and probably won't, even though there's a chance for some showers in the rest of wheat country periodically over the coming week. And the only other area of interest in the U.S., I think, is in the Pacific Northwest, where we finally have seen a few showers and thunderstorms pop up here recently. It's been very dry there seasonably, but this is a big step in the right direction for getting the ground ready for winter wheat planting, which comes up next month.
Sometimes when we're warmer in our part of the world, it means that Russia and parts of the other side of the globe have been cold. Is that the case?
That is the case. We've had frost and freezes reported this week in eastern portions of Inner Mongolia. That's part of China, of course, and that area has had some crop damage as a result of it. It's not necessarily the area everyone watches real closely, but Inner Mongolia does produce a fair amount of grain and oil seeds, and a little bit of damage may have occurred there. We're still waiting for somebody there to try to explain how much there was or wasn't, but that may be years in coming. In the meantime, Russia is expected to turn colder as we go forward through the next 7 days. Starting this weekend in particular, frost and freezes will occur in many areas across the northern and perhaps some central parts of their crop region. This is relatively close to normal, at least for the north. The central areas may be a little ahead of themselves on the first frost and freezes, but I don't think there's going to be much of an impact. They've had a fairly good growing season this year, and so the bottom line, I think, is that this won't be a big issue. Europe, of course, is still dealing with dryness in France and parts of the Balkan countries, which that extends on into Ukraine. And so these areas all need to see some better rainfall. Perhaps they'll get it, but it's probably a week away before it really gets good.
And finally, check in on the dry areas of Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina still hasn't had any rain of significance since we spoke last week, and it doesn't look like they're going to get much in this coming week either. There's a lot more nervousness in the marketplace, and farmers becoming a little uneasy about the dryness down that way. It looks like maybe in the last days of September and on into early October, we'll see a chance for some scattered showers across that country. But until then, it is going to continue to be a little bit too dry, and some of that wheat crop has not established well. And we're looking at some delays maybe in some of the early corn and sunseed that usually get going into the ground about that time.
Hey, thanks so much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. Emerson Nafziger, extension agronomist from the University of Illinois, now joins us to talk about the maturing crops in the state of Illinois and, for that matter, across the Midwest. Yeah, thank you, Emerson, for joining us. You've updated an article you posted to the Bulletin, which is the Extension Crops website. This one is on the FarmDoc Daily website posted today. If people would like to take a look at it, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You go through parts of the impact of this season on both corn and soybeans. Can you tell me about the corn crop and what you think its maturity looks like?
I guess we've had a little cause for some optimism this month, because we were saying a month ago that the only way to get back on track with this late planted crop was to have September look like another August. And so far, it's doing a pretty fair imitation of that, with above normal temperatures here this past week and expected to be above normal for most of this week. So that's what it really takes in this. The crops were well behind in development, of course. We planted over half of the corn crop after June the 1st this year, just an unprecedented event for Illinois corn production. And we knew we were going to put today's hybrids under some severe testing this year. And it's very mixed. The thing that complicates the picture is that we have a shortage of rainfall in some places. A pretty good chunk of sort of central Illinois going across the state, maybe 50 miles on either side of a line that runs through about Peoria. And that's the area where we're seeing, you know, drought or dry soils take almost as big a role as late planting. And the combination of the two is certainly not very good. So we're seeing that now with the crop in the driest areas, you know, coming to a halt before it was really mature. The good news is that the crop that was planted before the 1st of June, or maybe even the first few days of June, is on its way to having enough growing degree days to get pretty close to maturity. And that's something we're certainly much concerned about. Nobody is talking really about frost bringing an end to this crop, at least in most of Illinois. And the threat of early frost is pretty much gone from the picture for the next couple of weeks at least. And so the temperatures that are above normal, every day they're above normal, is really helping us out. And at this point, we're still going to have corn that's plenty high moisture at the time that we want to start harvesting it, but at least it should have the kernels reasonably well filled out, and so yields, you know, certainly not great, but the forecast for yields went from 181 in the August estimate to 180 in the September one, and I guess that's somewhat positive. And there's some really good corn in some places, and I'd say a pretty good number of counties have at least some fields that were planted early this year, is by the middle of May, and for the most part, those are certainly in central Illinois, they're reaching or have already reached maturity, and they're going to start drying down now. So warm temperatures in September are a real boon to us for corn, and it certainly helps to have enough soil moisture, which we do not have in some places. But the crop is getting to the end of the season, and it's by the time more of it dries up and looks like a normal corn crop again, we still have a concern that some of the really late planted corn is going to come to an end before it was really done. And that, you know, that every day that we get warm temperatures like this, the number of acres of that sort of slips down a little bit. At this point, the corn that was planted after the late planting date for crop insurance, which is June 5, is that's, you know, got the farthest to go, of course. And it's possible, especially in northern part of the state where it's been wetter, and the crop is pretty likely fairly green in some of those fields, and it is going to be cooler there, so it has a ways to go, and some of it might struggle to get finished, but the rest of the state, certainly from I-80 south, is looking pretty good in terms of getting the crop to more or less a normal maturity based on growing degree days.
Well, it sounds like that in the writing that you did that we'd get to maybe 100 or 150 GDDs or growing degree days on that part of the crop. What happens if we don't get the rest of those days and it ends early?
Well, it is ending early in some of the dry places in some of the fields, particularly where it was planted late. You know, and we can see that driving down the road. You'll see a part of a field that looks like it sort of died early. And we just expect the kernels to be smaller in those parts of the field and yields to go down. Yield monitors might actually have a little trouble this year seeing what's out there because differences in kernel density, test weight, and so on affect the way the monitors work. And so I don't know, maybe people want to turn them off in some cases and not look. I'd still record them, but in these fields where it dried down and we haven't had very much rain since July, you know, we don't expect those kernels to be very large. If it's been in decent shape moisture-wise and still really green by the first week of October and looks like it's just doesn't have a good chance to get done, that is if the kernels are still soft and haven't really started the milk line down very much yet, those are pretty likely to not get filled completely. October just has a slow accumulation of growing degree days, and again, it would help us if the temperatures stayed up a little bit, and we don't know if they're going to do that. But yeah, those are ones that unfilled kernels, you know, give us those low test weights, and if frost does bring that to an end, it stops the filling process earlier, and it also means that sugars will sort of be trapped there in the kernels, and those sugars are what make it pretty hard to dry down in the field and pretty tricky to dry artificially. Those are the ones that will often get show heat damage at lower drying temperatures than if they had completely converted those sugars to starch.
That's Emerson Napsiger, Extension Agronomist from the University of Illinois. We'll hear more from him tomorrow during the closing market report. We'll take up the maturity of the soybean crop and his assessment of how it has been doing in the state of Illinois. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is from Illinois Public Medium. You can look us up, listen to us on demand at willag.org.